Okay, there we go. Okay, pray with me for a moment and we will get started. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father, for life, for the breath of life. Thank you for the chance to be here in this paradigm, in this construct with everyone that's around us at such a time as this. And we ask you, Father, that as we spend some time in word and in truth, that you, the Spirit of truth, would lead and guide us into all truth, that the deep would cry out to deep and would call out to deep and would resonate with that which is real within us and within those that are around us that are on the same path. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and so we commit ourselves to that way, to that truth, to that life, and we ask that you would reveal things accordingly as we go forward. So thank you, Father. Please bless this time and the word in Jesus' name. Okay, let's go to, so, you know, we're going to conclude this series, but I think we'll spend a little bit more time in part 6 now. This has been quite a series. But part 6, Revelations 21, we started with this verse, which was verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So we started with that verse originally, and just to emphasize the fact that this whole thing that we all experience while we're here, it all started very well, and it all ends very well, right? So, but we're in this interim time in between, and so we do see, the previous series, the beast that came out of the sea, the beast out of the sea, we see that maritime system, that way that a lot of these things have been enforced that are maybe legal but not lawful, that are on a lower dimension, on a lower plane, on a lower vibration, on a lower frequency, right? And so we've realized from that, you know, who we are and who we are called to be. Now, when we've gone through this series that we started on the simulation, we established just certain key pieces that help us to realize, you know, what this is that we're in and that we're around. Now, the simulation we discussed is a mental, sensory, environmental overlay on top of what is real to convince you of a lie for a purpose of control, to harvest your soul, your power, your creative ability, your attention, your labor, your focus, to refine a better mousetrap for those who will come after. So the simulation continues to use everything that you do and the gathering of your attention and who you are and your engagement in it to then refine that system for those that will come after to make it more and more and more difficult. So we've seen, say, for example, you know, this thing just continues to grow. So we see, for example, people talk about, say, childhood vaccinations. Well, 30 years ago, there were 3, you know, then there was, now today is 135 by the time a child is 7 years old. Now, where does that come from? That comes from the business of medicine, right? So we see how this stuff is progressional. These systems become more and more entrenched, more and more ingrained. Now, in this regard, at the same time that we face something that is contrary to the creation of the Most High and the design that the Most High has for His people, we also see that any time there's always, as we discussed the legal concept, the concepts of relief and remedy. There's always a way out, and there's always a way through. There's always a way out, there's always a way through. So when we're surrounded by something, it doesn't mean that there's no other options. We just have to look at it and understand and comprehend what the options are for humanity. Now, John chapter 16, verse 33 says, And these things have I, this is the words of Jesus, "And these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have trouble, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, I like to play around with this a little bit, and just for the sake of making a point, let me read this verse again. "And these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the simulation ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the simulation." Okay. All right, so the world and the simulation for me is also synonymous because that is the illusion, right? That is Maya. That is the thing that is that is here that we presently face, but we also know will not be here. We've established the fact that you are real in a world that is not. And so that which is real comes into a place of something that is temporal and transitory. The temporal thing tries to ensnare us into it, but then we have to recognize what it is and rise up into our eternal and our higher self. Okay, so I want to spend a little time here and talk about something on this part. This part of what Jesus had said here, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. All right, so let me use the board here. Okay, I have overcome the world. So the word overcome, let me flip this around because word usage. I have, going to reverse that and make it come over. So I've come over, right? Or what's another word for over? Come above. Because if you're below or if you're above, so if you're going to overcome, if you're going to come over, also if you're going to come above, how do you come above the world? You know, so that aspect that aspect of coming above the world is in line with going to a higher level, right? Going, now we talked a little bit about the frequencies, vibrations, and how that also affects everything else that we're ending up doing and being a part of while we're here. Okay, so if you're going to come above, now there's that aspect affects, let's just talk about three. One is you personally. And this is inside of your personal body, inside your personal being, your personal space. Then there's also how we relate to that in the backdrop of base reality. Okay, let me write that one there. All right, so you've got your personal and you've got base reality of what's going on in and around you at any given time. So the simulation, one thing that we discussed with regards to the simulation was that there's going to be something going on in the base reality and in the background of our experience here at any given time. And the purpose of the world is always to try to draw you in, draw your attention into that. Because whatever you focus your attention on, that's going to be the thing that grows. So if you put your attention, whatever you put your attention on, how many times have you seen somebody's, they say, they start focusing on, for example, an illness or a malady. And they're like, oh, whatever, I just don't want to get this, or I don't want this to happen. And the more that they think about it, the more that they bring that into their reality because they're focusing on it. See, you as somebody that has been made in the image and the likeness of the Most High, you as an extension of the Most High here, you have creation flowing through you all the time. Whether you like it or not, whether you even know about it or not, you're always creating. We are, because we're creative beings. And what the world does in base reality is it wants to take that creative nature of who you are and steer that into continuing to create and reinforce this reality. So that's why when you turn on the news, you get fear. That's why when you turn on the news, here's some new thing waiting to jump out of some jungle somewhere and get you, or come after you, or somebody somewhere that you didn't know about, somewhere in the world that now hates you, and so you need to worry about that. What? How many different things? If you want a little bit of entertainment in this regard, go back and look at the news cycle 5 years ago and all the things they got everybody excited and scared about. And if you go back and look at the covers of Newsweek, they've swapped whether we were going to fry or freeze every 10 years. They, one second we're going to go into an ice age, then we're going into warming, then we're going into an ice age again. It's just, you know, climates change. That's what happens with climates. Climates actually change. So does weather. So do seasons. But they get everybody thinking around a certain way to be able to affect reality. So they want your consciousness engaged to steer it. Now, one of the most powerful things you can do for yourself and for your journey is to actually take deliberate, personal, willful control of your consciousness and to take it from the base reality, the fear-based consciousness that they want you to have, and move it over here to willful intention of what will be your personal experience while you're here in this life. So when you actually move that out, and this is part of also a comprehension of who you are. So you have to know who you are so you can actually identify with the reality of who you are, so you can live in that state of who you are and not create the slave construct of who they want you to be. So we've talked about this in terms of counter trafficking and human trafficking. One of the first things that happen in human trafficking is they steal your identity. They take away your identity. They give you new clothes. They take away your papers. They, you know, the first thing they'll do is they'll grab anything that helps you to identify who you are and make and change the way of change who you are. Even in the Bible, you got Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, who got renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened? They give them new names. They change because they don't want you to connect to where you came from. They want you to associate now with the identity that they give you. And in order for you to truly rise up into who you are, you've got to actually know who you are from the true reality, not the base reality of what you see around you in your sensory sense, but to him who comes above, to the higher state, to what truth is with the big T, of the revelation of the Most High, you've got to come up to that reality and identify with that. Now here's a question. Imagine how your world changes when certain pieces of information become real to you and you action them. What would you do if you found out that you had in you the blood of a king, that you were this direct descendant of a royal bloodline? You know, if you knew that, would that affect all of a sudden how you saw yourself? You know, would that, yeah, you would all of a sudden, you would, if you knew that, not nothing else in your world had changed, but all of a sudden a piece of information came into your world that now affected how you saw yourself, your history, your background, your lineage, everything else that was there. And so these kind of pieces of information can actually change your reality and your perception entirely. You know, how often have people found out all of a sudden they have a family member they didn't know about? You know, that's happened recently to some people we know that. You know, there's like a family member, an uncle, a cousin, a this, a that, grandparent, something. But all of a sudden, what does that do? There's an entire shift in the perception around, you know, wait a second. That changes the entire dynamics of a family, of how people see certain things. Because when you have a phase shift, that phase shift now affects everything that comes around it and comes after it and preceded before it. When you have a comprehension of truth, and then all of a sudden, this is why so many people are going to have such a hard time in the days ahead, because what's going to happen is that people are going to, for the first time, have these massive revelations that affect how they perceive everything else around it. So I'll give you a few examples. Every time somebody comes up with a car that runs on water, they get killed, right? They just go back and you look. There's plenty of times that you have a guy that develops a car that runs on water. It's viable. He's ready to go to market. And then several weeks later, he gets a visit by, you know, the Men in Black, DARPA, somebody. And then couple weeks later, the guy just dies of some sort of crazy random things. Why? Because a car that runs on water, and water being an abundant resource that covers 70% of the face of this planet, that affects so many other things. And there are people that want to be in control of transportation, logistics, and energy production. But the reality is there that something like this is capable, is possible, is very effective. There are cures that are out there that have been out there for a very long time, but every time they try to bring them to market, to bring them out to the general use of people, those people end up having, you know, a lot of issues around them. You know, kind of even a comical story in this regard, the DeLorean was a car that was created to, and is a stainless steel car, but just the car industry didn't want a car that would last that long. So they put the guy out of business, even though this guy, when he created the first DeLorean. So, you know, but you see it on Miami Vice and a few other places in old series, but it was an interesting concept, but these kind of things weren't allowed to actually see the light of day. There's a lot of things that benefit from the use and the required use of the people in a scarcity, fear-based mindset for a lot of things that are abundant and free. Energy is all around us. You know, these concepts of energy being able to be drawn out of the, even out of the ether, and being put to use on behalf of people, that's there. There's no reason, logically, sensically, for us to have to transport energy that comes out from underneath the ground thousands of miles in container ships to then be utilized for us on location, to then use it up, to then go do it again. There are other options. There are plenty of options. But these kind of things are kept away from the people. Now, what happens when you find out that there is an answer, that there is truth, and how does that answer affect everything else that goes on? What happens when you find out that there were cures to the diseases that people were facing, and these were kept away from people? Now, what happens when people find out that they were actually willfully poisoned? This is a big thing right now that's coming up now with research that's coming out more and more and more, that, for example, in this last 3 years, that this entire scandemic that's taken place on the face of the earth, there is now objective primary research for the injections that is coming out, that is there, where it's basically saying that what is inside of these vials is a chemical weapon, particularly the hydrogel and the graphene oxide, which graphene oxide does not degrade inside the system. It's like razor blades circulating inside of people's bodies. It causes a ton of destruction inside of people, and it is resulting in a lot of damage and premature death right now. Now, the researches are ongoing in this regard, but this is what things are pointing towards. Now, how does that then affect people's perception of, quote unquote, let's trust the science? How does that affect people's perceptions around the people that administered this to them? This is serious stuff. And this actually affects people's reality of, okay, who's looking out for them? What systems do you trust? What now, in this regard, you know, when you encounter a different level of truth, then it then affects how you relate to everything else. And so what's happening now is a lot of things that people thought were bedrocks of society, they're finding that they question now. So in the questioning that they have to do, now, when you are on a path of truth, this is one of the advantages of the follower of Christ. If you are on the path of truth, when you encounter the truth, if you are mistaken on something, it's very easy to course correct, because your ultimate journey is for truth. Meaning, if you are wrong about something, and we get things wrong, you can say, hey, I was wrong about that. I was genuinely on the path of truth. I was wrong about something. Here, let me come forward. Let me correct it. Let me admit it. Let me correct it. And let me go forward in that which I know is now true. So that is the path of truth, if you're on the path of truth. If you're not on the path of truth, if you've got a vested agenda, if you have a personal goal that is not truth, then you're now stuck, because you have to now defend a lie. You have to go down with that sinking ship. And that is where a lot of people are going to end up, because they've latched themselves in many ways in the world and in the simulation to a lie. The simulation is a lie. The world is a lie. It doesn't last. It's going to, we already saw at the very first verse that it's not there at the end, meaning that everything that's associated with it goes down too. So if you are going to stand and come to the other side of this, you have to actually be on the side of truth, because the truth is what wins out. The truth is what lasts. The truth is what endures. So on a personal level, we talked about this a little bit last time too. You've got your energy, you've got your vibration, and you've got your frequency, right? And these are things when you look and you see what does the world try to reduce, it tries to reduce your energy, your frequency, your vibration. To him who overcomes, to him who comes over, to him who comes above, to whoever comes up. You if you're going to overcome, you're going to go over it. If you're going to overcome a wave, you're going to go above that wave. If you're going to come above, you're going to rise up. You're going to go to a higher level. You know, the example of those that wait upon the Lord will be like the eagles. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They, you know, so that in Isaiah, right? So in that particular, what does an eagle do? Well, they spread that wings and they catch the wind and they fly above. They don't go below with the buzzards. They go above and they rise above the storm. Always the instructions in the scriptures for the people is to go up, to come up, to come out. You know, we're going to go up. We're going to go out. And what the world works to do is to bring you down. So the food that you eat, the water that you drink, the toxins in your environment, the mimickers in and the exposures that are there, the things that they put against your mind, all of those things that are there, and then the surrounding, the bombarding, the 5G, the frequency based things. This is why sometimes you wake up, everything should be normal and you feel bad. You just get up and you're like, well, I don't know why you feel, but you feel bad. Where does that come? What happens when a bunch of people feel bad at the same time? We've been getting exposed to frequency-based issues for a very long time. I mean, there's plenty of military experiments that are out there. There are things that are declassified that are there. People playing around with this stuff. So we now know from the healing side of things that there are healing-based frequencies that can be used on a positive side to actually help humanity. So the negative side has been known for a very long time too, and those things have been used against people. The goal of the world, why would they want to bring your energy, your vibration, and your frequency down? Because that system works on the base levels. And so if the lower that you go, the more dense that you go, the final levels being fear, guilt, shame, very, very low vibration, very low frequency, bringing people into that place now also makes them susceptible to demonic forces, to demonic engagements, to all of those attacks, right? You know, think about it in terms of, it's kind of like, do you see some of those old like spy movies, right? Where the guys, you know, there's the piranhas in the tub and he's being lowered down. And it's like once you get to a certain level, you know, being lowered down into that, you know, the sharks and the hungry piranhas, and if they get to a certain level, once they get down, then they'll be attacked by all of these things. Well, it's the reverse here. It's like if you're going up and you're going out, once you get past a certain level, you clear a lot of this stuff where it doesn't affect you. And so this is why they work very hard to bring you down so that these things can affect you. And this is why when you come up and you go, when you come over, when you come above, when you overcome, this is why when you come above, you can actually be in a place where you are in the world, but not of the world. You're here, you're aware, but not distracted, right? That's one thing we talked about for a long time, is that you can be aware, but not distracted. You're here, and you're surrounded by it, you're in it, but you're not of it. So that's part of instructions that Jesus gave, but now, this is the thing. He gives an instruction, but now how now do you live? What now do you do? So in this regard, what are the things, and this is back to how we make it personal. For you in your own life, you start looking and you start asking those questions. Okay, what can you do? What are some of the steps that you do? Now, the bridge between, and these are simple things. Sometimes it can be something as simple as diet and nutrition. Sometimes it can be something as simple as engaging in the kind of company that you keep, the kind of people that are in your world. Your self-confession, the words out of your mouth. Okay, so God said, let there be light, and there was light. You say you can't do something. Yeah, you're right, because you just said it. So you're never going to do it, because you spoke it into existence, and because you spoke it, you gave it life. And that life now was what ended up coming back and being your reality. So that's why There's so many admonitions in the scriptures about being mindful of the words that you speak. Don't speak curses over your life. Speak blessing over your life. Speak the words over your life. Speak the truth over your life in the way that you believe it to be true and that you know it to be true. And then take the action. And here's the thing. So the action is the bridge between these two. The action is the bridge between your experience in the base reality and your personal expression of who you are while you're here. When you act, when you do in line with your belief, what happens is now you're not creating the base reality world that their world wants you to make. What you're doing when you take actual action is that those actions now that you take are actually creating a ripple in the simulation, and in the, and then there is a response that now comes from that to actually support the manifestation of your true belief. If you take no action, if you just go along to get along, you consent to the world, you consent to the system, you just end up getting cycled and recycled again and again into the same thing. If you take action in line with your personal belief that is from a higher state, energy, frequency, vibration, from within, right? Because where's the kingdom? Jesus said the kingdom is within. So in Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, let's go there really quick. I want to touch that one. Okay, flip there. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read this one. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." All right, so the kingdom of God is within you. So it's inside. So you're going to have this manifestation. This is going to start within you. As you go up to a higher state and you come above, you overcome, or you come above, and as you come up to a higher state, you're going to have things be revealed to you within that come from your ability to hear from the Most High. As you receive that, that comes from Him, then you have to take action on that which He reveals to you. Once He reveals that to you, you take actual action on that, and that is what changes your personal manifestation of what you experience in your life and in your world in contrast to the backdrop of what's going on in and around you. So this is why Jesus can walk on water. This is why, you know, miracles happen. Every one of these things that He took action on, and you see the miracles in the scriptures, there's a bending and a blending and a mix and a change of even the very laws of nature around, based on what? Something that was inside. When you see the miracles that happened in the book of Acts, where people were being healed, a big part of those healings that took place was something happens within. There's a personal manifestation, personal revelation inside of, you know, an evangelist, an apostle, somebody that's there, just a believer. And that person will then go out and take an action and take a step based on that. And there will be a miraculous response as a result of that action that was taken. And then somebody else's world changes. Somebody else's entire experience in the backdrop of base reality switches. If you start reading the book of Acts, you see it happen again and again and again and again. Somebody's sitting by the temple gate, and then they come over. "Hey, how long do you want to be healed? Here, get up." Like somebody sitting by the pool, somebody sitting in, you know, in just these different places, these different experiences. Somebody searching the scriptures, looking for an answer, and then the revelation is made, and the miraculous can happen with the flow of truth. But it is the action. And this is the place too where a lot of the children of the Most High have been neutralized. Because the thing that they tell you is, come here and wait. Come here and sit down and wait. Come to the church, come to the meeting, and wait. No, Jesus says, go. You know, go into all the world. His instruction is to get out, to get active, to go do. And in doing that, you experience the miraculous power of the Most High. You don't see it in contemplation. You see it in, you might have a revelation, but now you need to put that revelation into action. It is in the action that you see the manifestation. And in the manifestation, you see the shift above base reality. To overcome, you have to come over. You have to come above. How do you come above? You raise your frequency, you raise your vibration, and you raise your actions that come from that place from within, from that state, and from that connection with the Most High. And then you act accordingly. And as you act accordingly, you open up the place for the miraculous to happen and the miraculous to take place. Now, here's the thing. That will also challenge your faith. It'll challenge your perception. It'll challenge your background. It'll challenge everything in you. But that's also how we grow, is by being stretched. We talked about this before. Like, if you go to exercise, you don't get stronger by using light weight. You get stronger by using heavier weight, heavier resistance. The stronger that people get is because of the increase of the resistance that they face. You know, and so, and we admire these world champion athletes because of the physical feats that they're able to do, but those ones that were able to do that, it's a combination of talent, but also incredible resistance that they ended up having to face in the creation, in the actions that they took, to then eventually be in that place where there was that showing on a world stage of like, wow, look at this physical accomplishment, right? But the other part of that too is once people understand or comprehend that it can be done, that shift changes, that phase shift changes, then everybody does it. First person to break a 4-minute mile, first they thought it couldn't be done. Then after it had been done, a lot of people did it after that because it was the perception to run a 4-minute mile. Now it can be done. Once people know that it can be done, that faith increases in all these other people, and then they go and do the same thing. Once, this is the part about being on the leading edge, which is where every follower of the Most High should be. Once you show that it can be done through your action, that now results in other people recognizing that things can be different, and then they go and they do likewise. Once people can see in the manifestation of that life in you that this is different, from that point forward, they know that it can be different, and then they never go back. So this is part of what we do as reality changers, is that when people see that reality shift in you, they now know things can be different, and then they go and do likewise. And if nothing else, what happens in the world is a testimony against the world and the simulation, because those that go that way, they know that they could have done it different, but they chose the easy road to their own detriment and their own demise. So, for us, you know, ours is the path of to come above. Ours is the path of going to the higher level and living and manifesting that out. And so, you know, if you read the book of Revelations, chapter 2 and chapter 3, here's you know, just different aspect of how that's taught. Some people teach it in terms of a timeline. Some people teach it in terms of here's 7 different churches and all the different churches and different manifestations of the churches. But one thing that is consistent for every one of them is that to him who overcomes, that's always the instruction that is given throughout. And so throughout history, throughout the teachings of whether it's in a timeline or whether it's in a group, there's always the instructions to him who overcomes. We are all called to overcome or to come over or to come above. To him who comes above, you know, and from that place to then manifest your balance of your time here. To him who overcomes. And that's the instruction that Christ has given us, and he's also showed the example, and that's something that we now move in that truth. The way, the truth, and the life, and it has been revealed unto us. And the encouragement is for us to go and do likewise. So with that, we will stop there. And let's just pray and close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, this evening. And we just bless the lives of everyone that have heard these words. And we ask, Father, that you would quicken all of us so that we can continue on in the path and in the journey that you have for us. In Jesus' name, strengthen the listener and strengthen us in this path. Thank you. Thank God.